Hi, everyone. We're just getting the equipment going, and I have 29 minutes in total, so if I get cut off at the end, you know what's happened. Let's just pray, and we'll make a start. Yeah, Father, I just thank you that you are with us, and I just ask that today you would open up more of who you are. And Lord, that we'd capture a glimpse of heaven, that we'd be able to see who we are in you, in Jesus, that we'd be able to understand what it means to live for him more, and that you would start working more in our hearts. Father, I just ask especially that our minds would be attuned to who you are, that we would have a breakthrough in our thinking today. In Jesus' name, amen. Hi again, Grace Point. Hopefully we won't be doing this for another few months, that we'll be back together at some point soon. But it's been a strange few weeks, hasn't it? When was the last time that you bought petrol at under 90 cents a litre? I mean, back in the 90s? I can't remember. It's just so long ago. It's just, it's been such a strange thing, not being able to buy toilet paper, but being able to buy petrol at under 90 cents. I have no idea what's going on. People are sending all kinds of messages, and there's all sorts of suggestions out there on the internet of how to cope with the coronavirus. Now, I thought I'd pick up on one of them. One of my colleagues sent me a message on mindfulness. Mindfulness is a real buzzword these days. And let me just read you a definition I pulled off the internet. This is from Berkeley, that university in California. It's from the Greater Good magazine. And this is what they said. Mindfulness means maintaining a moment-by-moment awareness of our thoughts, feelings, bodily sensations, and surrounding environment through a gentle, nurturing lens. Mindfulness also involves acceptance, meaning that we pay attention to our thoughts and feelings without judging them, without believing, for instance, that there's a right or a wrong way to think or feel in a given moment. When we practice mindfulness, our thoughts tune into what we're sensing in the present moment rather than rehashing the past or imagining the future. Now, I want to be honest with you. I'm not sure that when you read something like this, I'm not sure whether I actually agree with it totally. In fact, I think we need to sort of have a balanced approach when we think. Mindfulness has been sort of grabbed by the secular world. But do you know that it's based a lot on Buddhist philosophy? Do you know that it's a lot about, the Buddhist idea is you escape from suffering, that you detach yourself? And, this sort of not judging whether our thoughts are right or wrong, well, there's a point which, accepting who you are is a good thing, but, there's some stuff in there that I'm not so sure that we should just grab the whole thing. On the other hand, I don't want to go into, mindfulness is wrong, mindfulness is this. There's secular studies that showing how, when you start allowing yourself the time to think through things and you give yourself space, how healthy that is. So rather than talk about the ins and outs of mindfulness, I'd like to sort of reframe it and sort of think about being mindful, in that when I used to think about mindfulness, I thought about the definition we had a couple of decades ago, that mindfulness is this idea of thinking deeply and understanding where we're at. And I'd like to reframe that mind, being mindful, actually thinking about our mindset in terms of God, in terms of our attitudes, and in terms of our heart. So that's where I'm going to head today. And I'm going to start with a passage, Colossians 3. And we'll start with verses 1 to 4. So let me just read that. So if you have been raised with Christ, Seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth, for you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory. So the context for this is Colossians 2. And Colossians 2, it warns the Colossians not to be caught up in the philosophies that are around them, but to understand who they are in Christ. In Colossians 2, it talks about how in Christ we've died with him and we've risen with him as he was resurrected. You know, it's a bit like an aeroplane. I know at the moment aeroplanes are hardly going anywhere, so I guess this illustration isn't as good as usual. But, you know, when you get into an aeroplane, if the aeroplane goes up, you go up with it. If the aeroplane goes down, you go down with it. And in Christ, when we come to a relationship with him, the mystery is that when he died, our old self, with all its sin, died with him. And then when he rose again in the resurrection, we were given new life just as he gained new life. And this is the basis on which we start in this chapter. So if you've been raised with Christ, see, it doesn't just stop there with the resurrection. If you look at this in the verses that Rob read from Ephesians, we were raised with Christ into the heavenly realms, and we're now seated with him in heaven. Now, this sort of is a bit mind-blowing when you actually think where we're situated. See, you're sitting at home. I'm assuming you're sitting somewhere listening to me. You might be standing, you might be doing anything else, but your reality is not just simply where you are right now. Your reality is that you are seated with Christ in the heavenly realms, and you're also seated here in this realm. It's like being in two dimensions at once, and you let that spirit, if you allow yourself just to sit with Christ in that place. Now, this truth about you being in the heavenly realms, it comes up a number of places. Ephesians, Colossians, Hebrews, you're around the heavenly Jerusalem. So Paul says, seek the things that are above. Now, above is where God is. It's this concept of him being greater than us. Not necessarily a physical above, but it's where he is. And if you think about where Christ is, he's seated at the right hand of God. That's the seat of all power. Now we have access. So when Paul says, set your minds on things above, you have access to God. This is just incredible, an incredible truth. You have access to the throne of grace at any time, in any place, anywhere. If we just grasp a little bit of this, so you can be anywhere, and God in heaven, you're with him in heaven. And you can, if you start looking and setting your minds on who he is and where you are with him, then what he is doing, you join with him in what he's doing. And as we say in Grace Point frequently, bringing heaven to earth, that you become part of the conduit of what heaven is doing here. And so setting your minds on things above, this is really life-changing. And we sort of don't get focused on the earth. Now, we can get caught up in all this coronavirus business. We can get caught up with the fear of society. We can get caught up with all their reactions to the fear, you know, self-indulgence, woe is me, I better do a nice bit of thing for myself. I'm not going to say that's wrong, but, you know, it's the, where is your focus? Is your focus on what God is doing in the moment, or is your focus on what is happening around you now? So we start getting that heavenly mindset. Paul again says, you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Now, this is again a little bit strange, but you think about the Psalms, you know, we're hidden under the shadow of his wing. So as his people, we're protected by who Jesus is. Now, at this point in time, when people look at us, they don't necessarily see the heavenly realm in us. And there's a sort of a hiddenness of who we truly are. But in the future, when Christ is revealed, see, we continue to be in him. And in the future, when he is revealed, we'll be revealed in glory. So the future belongs to Jesus. And so our mindset, we have this hope that we live in. So we have our mind set on God, where he is. So we have that heavenly mindset. And we have a future mindset that we know that the future belongs to Jesus. And in the future, people will see us in an incredibly different light, because when Jesus is revealed, we'll be revealed in glory. I can't imagine exactly all that's going to mean, but it is going to be something spectacular. All right, so be mindful of who you are in God. Be mindful of who he is. And, you know, when you take this to the next level, it also means we have to be mindful of our attitudes. It also is, it goes beyond attitudes to our behavior and how we speak. So let's turn to Colossians 3, 5 to 9. And in Colossians 3, 5 to 9, Paul says, put to death, therefore, whatever is in you earthly, fornication, impurity, passion, evil, desire, and greed, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming on those who are disobedient. These are the ways you also once followed when you were living that life. But now you must get rid of all such things: anger, wrath, malice, slander, and abusive language from your mouths. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have stripped off the old self with its practices. So we have changed direction. You know, if we understand who we are in God, then we have died to the past. The old self has died. So we have died to certain patterns of behavior, sexual immorality, impurity that comes from it. But we've also died to a whole lot of attitudes. And if you notice in this passage, Paul is particularly focused on attitudes: passion, evil desire, greed, anger, wrath, malice, slander, abusive language. A lot of attitudes, a little bit of speech in there, lies as well. So as we've died to these things, I don't want to dwell on these patterns, but there's a point at which, as Christians, we need to start taking some of this stuff seriously and say, okay, this is no longer who I am. And I know that, you know, in the past few weeks, I've been very stressed at work, and I find myself getting a bit angry at times, and I have to come back to this and say, well, look, this is not who I am. I'm not in the attitudes in my heart have to be transformed by who I am in Jesus. And I think that sometimes we allow ourselves to go through life holding on to stuff that is no longer us. And, you know, I wonder if we have to step back a little bit and say, well, if I'm in heaven, if I'm in that heavenly mindset and I'm focusing on who I am in God and I'm allowing God to move in my life, then some of this stuff has to be let go of. It's holding us back. And, you know, so there may be a point at which you have to go and get some counselling to deal with some of this. You might have to sit with a friend. You might just sense the Spirit talking to you about something. Well, allow him to speak into it. Allow yourself to let go of some of this stuff. Now, it doesn't become the focus. The focus is who we are in Jesus. That's what motivates us to put this away. And there's some really strong language here, isn't there? Put to death, get rid of, strip off the old self. That's pretty strong, isn't it? But the other side of that is putting on. So what do? If you look at verses 10 to 14, so we've stripped off the old self and have clothed yourselves with the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge according to the image of its creator. In that renewal, there is no longer Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave and free, but Christ is all and in all. As God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, meekness and patience. Bear with one another, and if anyone has a complaint against another, forgive each other just as the Lord has forgiven you. So you also must forgive. Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony through him. If we focus on the negatives, we've got it wrong. Christianity isn't about don't do this, don't do that, don't do this. It's about leaving who we were in the past behind and moving on to who we are now in Jesus. And the focus is who we are in that new self. See, your new creations, you're being recreated. See, God is all about transforming us from within. We are the most radical of people in the world. If you really think about it, it's the character change. It's the change of who you are in yourself. We can bring radical transformation to our communities, but it also starts in us, starts in our own attitudes. So the first thing is that we're being renewed in knowledge according to the image of its creator. Now, it's very interesting. That verse has this, it sort of looks back at Adam and Eve. You know, what did they do? Well, they ate from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Well, now we're getting new knowledge, and we're now we're coming back to who we are in the image of God. That's who we are. It's not this, we're being changed to be like Jesus. And look, the best thing about it is, it doesn't matter who you are. You can be anyone. You can be a slave. You can be the senior executive of some multinational company. You can be any nationality. I miss you all here in Grace Point. You know, we have, 20, 30 different nationalities coming to our church, and there's always someone new walking through the door. We can be anyone. We don't have to have a Jewish background. We can be Gentiles. But you have this. If you're in Jesus, he is all and in all. It's for us. And so, as God's chosen ones, we are chosen. We're holy. We are already holy because of what God has done. So if you think about it, your mindset set on the things above flows into a mindset that we are who we are in Jesus, and we're already holy. That's our identity. And we're beloved. We're loved by God. So we don't start down in the bottom. We start with who we are, already seated with Christ in the heavenly realms. And so we clothe ourselves with these things that Jesus has done for us, with compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. We allow those values to come into us. We bear with one another. We forgive each other. I know some of you need to forgive me for some stuff I've done, but we forgive each other. We forgive and accept each other. We bear with one another. And above all, we clothe ourselves with love. Do you notice that way that Paul keeps on repeating, the clothing yourself? So we're mindful of who we are in God, and we're mindful of God. We're mindful of our attitudes, and then we're mindful of our hearts. Colossians 3:15-17, and let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in the one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teach and admonish one another in all wisdom and with grace in your hearts, singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs to God. And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. So we start by letting the peace of God rule in our hearts. I hope that over the past couple of weeks you've found places where you've allowed that peace of God to rule in you. You know, it's so easy to get caught up in the stress and anxiety of the present time. But if we allow the peace of God to rule in us, it changes us. It's part of that transformation. We're thankful. And we also let the word of Christ dwell in us. Now, something I was going to say a bit earlier is, think about your spiritual formation. Have you got a growth mindset? See, this passage is an amazing passage about transformation. Have you got a mindset that you are growing in Jesus? See, if we capture that now, in the next period, we're going to see some amazing transformations happening around us in society, and we can be on the forefront of being a transformative people. That's our church's vision. To bring transformation by the Holy Spirit to our society. And so letting the word of God dwell in us richly, what God is saying to us through the Bible, but what he's saying to us by the Spirit, that we allow that to dwell in our hearts, and we're mindful of that. Now, I sometimes wonder whether we have lost sight of the value of Scripture, that we really need to get back into the Bible and allow it to soak and renew our thinking so that we walk more closely with God. It's so important. And then we teach and admonish one another. So encourage one another. Find time this week to ring someone, to visit someone, as Rob said, and to encourage them. I've been really encouraged by people sending me links to praise songs. I love to listen to praise and worship. I do this really regularly, usually several hours a day if I've got a chance. And so it's something that really builds us up with worship. And allow those spiritual disciplines. You pray, you read the word, you worship, you confess when you haven't managed to do the right thing, and you be thankful. You receive what God has done and be thankful for it. And whatever you do in word or in deed, do everything in the name of Jesus. So where does that leave us? Draw near to God, like find a place where you can be quiet, and just allow him to show you that heavenly reality. You know, every time I do this, there's always new things. You know, Jesus will show you things of the heavenly realms. We capture glimpses of this in Revelation, but he'll show you things. So find a place and allow God to draw you to that place where he is. So make time, make space. You know, Jessica talked about being still last week. So find a place where you can be still. If there's something in that passage that you need to take off, you go, I need to deal with that. Well, allow yourself time this week to confess it. You might want to get someone to pray for you. You can go through this passage. One thing I really like to do with passages like this is to pray it over myself or to pray it over someone else. So you can sit with someone. You might be sitting with someone now, and you can get them to pray, taking off the things, and then pray that God will put on compassion and kindness on you. And spend some time in the Word. Find time to spend time in the Word and listening to God. It's a good practice is to journal. You know, as you hear from God, just journal some of what he's saying to you down. And allow yourself to get into the flow of what he is doing. And, you know, I think if we can grasp what Paul is talking about here and rise up as a transformative people, we already are. We don't have to grasp. We already are this. So let's run with this even deeper than we've been before and be blessed. Be a blessing to the people around us. Let's pray. Father, I just thank you. Just thank you for the transformation in Christ. And Lord, I just ask that we would be mindful of who we are and who you are, and that we would have a glimpse of heaven today, that you would take us deeper into the heavenly realms, and that we would be people who bring heaven to earth, and that our lives transformed would reflect the greatness of who Jesus is, that we would be a blessing to many people. Yeah, in Jesus' name, amen. And I'd encourage you, if you're getting prophetic words, deliver them to people. You can deliver them on the chat or to others by phone. Bless you all, Grace Point. So good to see you all. And I hope you are going really well. Amen.